We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout Pennsylvania. It's quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. And while the holiday season may be winding down, there's no shortage of collegiate and pro sports action, and no better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. And to celebrate this year's college football playoffs, DraftKings is giving all new users the chance to bet on any semifinal team to win the championship at 100-1 odds. That's right. All you have to do is bet $1 on any semifinal team to win the championship. And if your team wins, you cash $100. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code KSN when you sign up to get 100-1 odds on any semifinal team to win it all. That's code KSN for new players for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. I'm Jim Galante along with Greg Pickle for quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. If you missed it earlier and you want to place your DraftKings bet, you're a new player on DraftKings, Greg Pickle advised you, take Alabama, all right? So when you win that $100, you can credit our own Greg Pickle for that. Greg, in this segment, I'm going to get the chance to ask you the question, and it's a pretty general question. This Penn State team ended up 4-5, a losing record, despite that winning their last four in a row. I want to talk to you about what went wrong in 2020. And let's start at the very beginning where you had opt-outs and injuries that struck this team early. And I get the feeling that we all kind of underestimated the effect of Micah Parsons opting out.
Well, that's 100% the case, Jim. I mean, I think that when we looked at the linebacker pitcher that Penn State had, even without Micah, the one thing we didn't account for is how much of an eraser he was for not only his position, but other positions, and how he would just, because he's a freakish athlete with amazing speed, run really fast to get a guy. You know, maybe a guy was destined for 10 yards, he'd stop him after six. Maybe he'd stop a guy for a 2-yard gain. It looked like he was going to get more. So he fixed a lot of problems for Penn State's defense, and I don't think we necessarily realized how appreciated that was or how much Penn State needed that until some of these other younger, less experienced guys got on the field. They didn't have someone cleaning up their mistakes, and I think that's really what hurt Penn State early on.
And speaking of those linebackers, I believe that inexperience showed. I believe a lot of us looked at them, saw the 4 stars or the 5 stars, and thought, okay, they're just going to step right in and be ready to play at a high level. And I believe Brandon Smith is Exhibit A, who it took him to the towards the end of the season before he was that 5-star guy that we expected.
Yeah, I mean, I think one important thing to note there is that he is still kind of boom or bust when it comes to tackling in space. I mean, he's either going to wallop you or he's going to take a bad angle and miss you completely. So he definitely grew, though, as the season went on. And really, to your point, Jim, became the guy who looked more like a 4-5-star recruit and who looked like he was going to be the next Micah Parsons, is what a lot of us expected from him coming out of high school. So I think that was obviously positive and will lead Penn State to be in a much better place in 2021 at the linebacker room and as a defense overall. So we'll see how things play out there. But yeah, he really grew up for sure. And the fact that he kind of had to do it with the fire test early on with Micah gone probably wasn't a part of the plan, but it was a hand Penn State was dealt. And I think they'll be better for it next season. Didn't help early on this year, of course.
And then going back to the players who were gone for the season, you had Journey Brown, who, even though they, in the beginning of the season, we weren't sure if it was going to be for the full year, we kind of suspected that. Then you had Noah Cain, who was available, and you thought, well, he'll be able to step in and fill that void. Kane goes down in the first series of the first game. Combine that now with Ricky Slade, who had opted out. You had three out of the four running backs that you thought you had too many running backs in 2019. All of a sudden, you were down to your third, fourth, fifth running backs, and that was a huge factor, correct?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, it's just it's kind of amazing to look back at what we thought Penn State was going to have this year versus what it ended up having. I mean, by the time you get to week two, you're out Journey Brown and Noah Kane. And like you mentioned, Ricky Slade was a guy who would have been behind them or at least on the OR list with them. Well, now he's at Old Dominion, of course, transferring there, not playing because the Monarchs did not play in 2020. But, you know, either way, he's not available. Devin Ford, you know, unfortunately had to miss a game due to a death in his family. And then it seems like after the Rutgers game, he must have been injured again. I don't think we saw him in either of the final two games. So you're down to a pair of true freshmen in Keziah Holmes and Kevon Lee, who I think both can have very bright futures here, Jim. But let's face it, I don't know if either one of them had the label of instant impact starter, maybe instant impact contributor, perhaps, based on some of the stuff we saw during camp, but certainly not starter and bell cow. So, you know, they had to adjust to that on the fly. That really made one of the reasons the run game struggled early on, I think, was that. And, you know, Kirk Straka's offense really needs that run game to get going to work as best it can. So you had that problem. It led to Sean Clifford had to maybe throw a little bit more than he should. And that led to some turnovers, which led to some losses. So, yeah, kind of all started to snowball downhill with Ricky Slade transferring. Now, look, if he was here, would have made a huge difference? You know, I don't know. It's impossible to say that. We don't have a crystal ball, but it probably couldn't have hurt matters, that's for sure.
You made reference to Sean Clifford and some of the turnovers, which may have certainly weren't helped by what was going on with the running backs. But in my opinion, Greg, Sean Clifford's poor play, especially early, I thought was the biggest issue. Many of those turnovers, they weren't forced turnovers. They were just bad plays on his part. And if he wasn't turning the ball over, he wasn't all that accurate. How big a factor do you think Sean Clifford's early play was?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big, and you know, I've seen some people write about this now during the offseason. I mean, obviously, the one, you know, Micah Parsons opting out was a huge thing that impacted this Penn State season. We'll just call the pandemic, because that obviously impacted everyone. But, you know, the other thing was the two-point conversion call at Indiana, where a lot of people still think that Michael Penix Jr. did not get in. And if he didn't get in and Penn State wins that game, are they 4-5? Or does that change the season for them? You know, is Sean Clifford put in so many kind of the tough spots, I guess you could say. Now, granted, he put his team in a ton of tough spots too. But, you know, it kind of made everyone a little bit uptight, I think. Then you go lose to Ohio State and things are kind of off the rails from there. So, but, you know, obviously the turnover, I mean, James Franklin talked about it over and over week after week. The turnovers are what really hurt this team. And there were some other obvious problems. Again, defensively, they got picked apart way too often. And the linebackers took a long time to kind of get up to snuff, so to speak, once Mike opted out. And you, of course, lost Jan Johnson and Cam Brown to graduation. But yeah, I mean, they just can't go into 2021 with a quarterback that they have one quarterback who's mostly used as a runner, and they have another who, you know, was better down the stretch with turnovers, but he still had a turnover in the finale. Obviously, it didn't matter. They still stomped Illinois, but you know, that's going to be something to keep an eye out for. Do they go into the portal? I think it's likely that they do, or at least they're going to try. Maybe they don't get the guy, but I think they have to evaluate the options there, because I just don't know how you can be in love with that quarterback room right now, Jim. You have a guy in Sean Clifford who, again, showed some positive things, showed too many negative things. I don't know if you're any more certain now than you were in 2019 that he's the guy that can take you over the hump into the college football playoff and so on and so forth. You know, Will Levis, again, I think there's a use for him as a runner. I think he showed at times that he has a strong arm, but I don't know if he's progressed to the point to be in that conversation. Obviously didn't do enough to pass Sean Clifford for good on the depth charts. That kind of tells you all you need to know. you know, with Taquan Roberson. You know, a lot of people wanted more run for him this year, and I don't necessarily disagree with the premise, but I do believe if Penn State thought he was ready for that, they would have given him a look. You know, Micah Bones is a guy I don't see being, you know, a couple years away from being ready to play. And then the same thing with Christian Veau, who comes in as a four-star, and I believe he's an early enrollee. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jim. But
I believe so.
Yeah, but, you know, he didn't play at all last season. He didn't have a senior season. So he is now a year removed from his last competitive game. So that obviously is going to put him behind the eight ball as well. So I think you got to give the portal a look. I know everyone wants to look to 2022 and think Bo Pribula, who we talked about earlier in the show, is a guy who's going to come in and solve every problem and change everything. And he might. He certainly might, but that's a year away from now. So I don't think you can put all your eggs in that basket either.
No, you certainly can't, and can't necessarily expect him as a freshman to step right in. All right, Greg, here's my question to you. What did we forget to do? We forgot to announce our winner.
Oh, Jim, and you remembered, though. You remembered in plenty of time. This was the plan all along. Let's not pretend any other plan was ever in place.
Looking to make the save late in the period. All right. Our winner is James, who reached out and debated me and decided I was all wrong. We're not going to be biased against you for that, James. You're the winner. I'll be reaching out and contacting you. All right, Greg, you were talking about going to the transfer portal for a quarterback. And I think a lot of people look at the portal and see people over the last couple of years like Justin Fields and Joe Burrow and the couple guys going to Oklahoma. But do you see Justin Fields or Joe Burrow out there somewhere as a transfer quarterback?
Not at this moment in time, no. And, you know, I don't know if Penn State's ever going to be the school that is necessarily first in line for that type of a guy anyway. But no, not really. You know, we'll see what happens once all these final bowl games are completed. You know, we could see some more names jump in there, I'm sure, than what we see right now. I mean, obviously the teams in the college football playoff hunt have very good quarterback rooms, but some of those guys might be willing to get out and look elsewhere. So that's something to keep an eye on. And there'll be probably some more names to pop in there as well at that position. So, but no, I don't know if I see that guy yet. And there's not always going to be that guy year in and year out. But
Greg, I want to stop you and ask you a question about one transfer quarterback from Clemson, the guy who a couple years ago Penn State was recruiting heavily, and you were so proud because you were able to pronounce his name. I think he was from New England.
Yeah, I don't actually have the ability to do that anymore. I believe his first name is Taysom. And I don't think he's in the portal yet, but obviously he's way down the depth chart there, even with Lawrence leaving, backup DJ, he's next in line there and obviously showed he's very good. So that'll be a name to watch. And I think there'll be some other college football playoff teams with names to watch from the quarterback room as well.
All right. That is it for this edition of the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a fantastic and safe New Year celebration. And be sure to join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
For this year's college football playoffs, DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is giving all new users the chance to bet $1 on any semifinal team to win the championship. And if your team wins, you cash $100. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use promo code KSN. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.